Thank you, Dr. Roberts, for their introductions. There we go. Some of the most common Bermuda grass putting green cultivars used today are Tiff Dwarf, Champion, Tiff Eagle, and Mini Verde. Razor et al. Stated that the vast majority of Bermuda grass cultivars established on putting greens since 1960 are genetically related to Tiff Green. Therefore, the development and widespread use of Tiff Green form the foundation of current Bermuda grass cultivars used on putting greens today. The diagram on the screen shows that, yes, the vast majority of putting green cultivars used today are derivatives of Tiff Dwarf or Tiff Green. And the blue line in the middle shows that Tiff Dwarf itself is a derivative of Tiff Green. Razor went on to state that phenotypic variability of Bermuda grass cultivars on putting greens began to be recognized soon after the release of Tiff Green in 1956 and continues to be problematic in ultra dwarf greens today. For the first time in around 15 years, the National Turfgrass Evaluation Program, also known as NTEP, is conducting a warm season putting green trial. It started in 2013 and it will last 5 years. There are 10 locations across the U.S. The standards used are Tiff Dwarf, Tiff Eagle, and Mini Verde. There are also 12 new Bermuda grass cultivars in the study. One of those cultivars is MSB-285. MSB-285 is a new interspecific hybrid Bermuda grass not genetically related to Tiff Green. In 2013, Harris Schultz conducted genetic tests with an SSR marker, and MSB-285 generated a unique allele compared to Tiff Green-derived cultivars, Tiff Dwarf, Tiff Eagle, Champion, and Mini Verde. MSB-285 exhibits a more upright leaf orientation compared to the standard ultra dwarfs, but maintains the density of an ultra dwarf. Based on MSB-285's unique genetics and growth habit, field tests were needed to compare MSB-285 to standard ultra dwarfs. Our objective was to determine the best management practices for a new Bermuda grass putting green cultivar. And how we did that? Our research was conducted at the Rodney Full Turfgrass Research Center in Starkville, Mississippi. We used a USDA Profile 8515 sand peat mix. The treatment dates were June 1st to September 1st, 2015. I replicated that in 2016 and I was asked, yes, it was a Sunday or whatever day, I work every day. There were three treatment factors, cultivar, mowing height, and Trinexa pack ethyl applications. Three cultivars used, Tiff Eagle, Mini Verde, MSB-285. The two mowing heights used, 3.2 millimeters, 4.2 millimeters, and it was mowed 5 days per week. Thank you, undergraduate. Trinexa pack ethyl applications, untreated or controlled with 0.02 kilograms of active ingredient per hectare, 0.05 kilograms of active ingredient per hectare, all applied weekly with a CO2 backpack sprayer. The data collected that we will go over today were clipping yield taken with a Toro Greensmaster 1600, lateral regrowth using digital image analysis, 11-centimeter diameter cup cutter and backfilled with sand, and rooting parameters using the Winrizo Pro. Other data collected was chlorophyll index, turfgrass quality, surface firmness, and green speed. For experimental design, we used a split-split plot and strips design with three replications. Factorial effects were evaluated using an analysis of variance with Prot Mixed. When a cultivar by year interaction was not observed, data was pulled over 2 years, and Fisher's LSD at a p-value less than or equal to 0.05 provided mean separation. Results. On the y-axis of this graph, we have clipping yield to start with, and on the y-axis are grams per meter squared. On the x-axis, cultivars. In the legend, you see in maroon, zero trinexapac ethyl. The bars that are gray, the lower rate, 0.02 kilograms. And the green, higher rates. Now, across all treatments, MSB 285 had three times more clippings than Tifigel, and seven times more clippings than Miniverdi. Here you can see at the zero rate, MSB 285 was significantly higher. But you can also see that even after trinexapac ethyl, MSB was significantly higher in response to clipping yields. Here you have in the y-axis percent cover for lateral regrowth. In the x-axis you have cultivar. And this lateral regrowth represents 64 days after initiation. When comparing cultivars across all treatments, MSB 285 had 52% more lateral regrowth than Miniverdi at 64 days after initiation. At 64 days after initiation, these pictures illustrate the lateral regrowth that was taken, and these pictures themselves were taken from plots that were at the lower rate, 0.025 kilograms, and a mowing height of 3.2 millimeters. Total root biomass, in this graph you see grams per meter squared in the y-axis. In the x-axis you see cultivars. When comparing cultivars across all treatments, MSB 285's root mass was roughly 1.5 times greater than Tifigel and roughly 2 times greater than Miniverdi. So for clipping yield, MSB 285 consistently produced the most clipping yield. Even with weekly trinexapac ethyl applications, compared to Tifigel and Miniverdi, it was relatively ineffective. Lateral growth-wise, though, it was 52% greater than Miniverdi, and for root biomass, it was 1.5 times greater than Tifigel and roughly 2 times greater than Miniverdi. So looking forward, this research was part of my master's. It is my master's, and we knew after about the first year that the clipping yields were strong, right? So we want to look into multiple PGR active ingredients, and we want to look into different fertility programs, and we want to look into water use because the roots are so long and the biomass is so large. So on August 1st, me and Mr. Wayne Philly decided that we would try the other PGRs. And so we took Tifigel and MSB 285, and we just got some pots, and we put them in the greenhouse, and we sprayed a low label rate. And you'll see on the left, plant growth regulators with their common names, chemical names, Cutlass, Legacy, Musketeer, and Tremet. And then we have MSB 285 and Tifigel. The visual ratings we took were on a 1 to 5 scale, and 5 equaled no injury. So as you can see, with the Cutlass, the Musketeer, and the Tremet, there was a significant difference between phytotoxicity that we observed. So this just helps us for the next research that we can do. It tells us that we can move along and try different PGRs. Thank you, Razor, et al. And also, my poster was yesterday, but if you'd like any information on the water use, I tested Diamond Zoysia, C. dwarf Paspalum, Tifigel, and 285 in a greenhouse study? Yes. We did not do a thatch study, and this grass is new, so my research is close to the only research we have. So the way it grows is more upright. I don't want to speculate, but it's going to. I will do this. It's not a speculation. It requires different maintenance management than TIF Eagle, TIF Dwarf, the standards. It does. That is no doubt. But you know, I've worked on 6 golf courses, and we dethatched a lot. So that may not be that different. But yes.
Any thoughts on how stable it's going to be as a putting surface? And, you know, I mean,
genetic. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, because part of the problem, Champion, is it segregates. Part of the problem, the main party, is it segregates. Tiffany appears to be the one that doesn't do it nearly as much. Any thoughts on how stable this grass is going to be?
So before I state it, you're talking about phenotypic variability, mutation, such?
Yeah.
That stability? Okay, so the first question was, do I believe that MSB 285 has more thatch? I can't speculate to that. It does have a more upright leaf growth, and future research we'll see. The next one was, is it stable? So in comparison, as I said, Razor stated that phenotypic variability is a problem. The truth is, we have such a small plot area of MSB 285, we haven't observed any. But how would we know? It's not on a massive scale. So we didn't really know that, you know, I guess we noticed it soon after they were popular, but this grass isn't popular yet. So we really couldn't speculate and promise you.
Well, I would just say that, you know, before you bring it to market, you should probably have, like, a fairly good idea of that, because that's been the problem with both Mayberry and Champion. As they're out in the field, mm-hmm. Champion was sold back, you know, 10 years, 15 years ago, and it's going to be stable, and you're going to just see one grass type, and it's going to look good. And,
mm-hmm.
and when you get putting greens at high-end golf courses, members start to complain about that kind of stuff.
They will. I don't either. I'm not a geneticist. I'll ask Ms. Herr Schultz.
One more question.
One more.
What was the putting surface like? What were the ball roll characteristics?
So, the question was, what was the ball roll? How was it as a putting green? It was slow. It's slow. It's slow because of clipping yields. You could see how high it is. We have to get that down. We've had people talk about mowing it twice a day, different management strategies. I mean, It really, the next research, we want to try the PGRs. We want to try the other PGRs that aren't Trinex Pack Ethyl and see where that goes. And, you know, it's research, so we just see where it goes and see what happens. We have good things. We have good roots, good growth, too much growth. And so we just keep doing research.
Thank you, Speaker.
Thank you.